Welcome to another episode of Unshakable Marriage Podcast, where we have real conversations to take your relationship to the next level. In this episode, we are discussing forgiveness. Forgiveness is a chief cornerstone to an unshakable marriage. Couples who practice forgiveness allow themselves to fully process and move on from negative emotional events, and they ultimately create stronger bonds.
You would not be married for any amount of time without having to forgive. We all forgive, and we all receive forgiveness as well.
Yes, a happy marriage is made up of two forgivers, you know. That's how you move on, and that's how you go a distance.
If a couple has been married for even a week, at the end of that week, someone would need to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So you, from where to go, you've got to learn how to forgive. And forgiveness is very key in marriage.
You know, really, often when people hear the word forgiveness, the first thing they equate that to is weakness. Yeah, they feel that if you're forgiving someone, it's a sign that you are weak. There's a belief that you're condoning or excusing their behavior when you're forgiving.
Yeah.
But that's not the case,
is it? No, that's not the case. You are not also turning a blind eye to the offense that was committed. That's not what you are doing. And in fact, true forgiveness involves confrontation.
Mm.
You are going to have to confront the offender, your spouse, about what they offended you about, so that you are able to deal with it before you can actually move on.
And so, in fact, the right way to look at it is that you need to consider forgiveness as a gift to yourself, a gift to your spouse and your children.
So, firstly, as a believer, your stance is that I am going to forgive anyone who offends me. But then it becomes even more serious with your spouse, where you are committed to forgiving them whatever they will do. And obviously we acknowledge that the offenses may be different, and therefore they may land differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some will be easy to forgive, and others will be very difficult to forgive.
Very true. And so today we'll be looking at that aspect of a relationship, because, you know, when you don't forgive each other, you are going to build resentment.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be keeping grudges, and with time, that will eat away at that emotional bond with your spouse.
Your intimacy will be gone.
Yeah.
Because if you have an offense that you are carrying, It is not going to help your marriage. It is not going to help your intimacy. One of the things I've noticed about couples who are conflicted or who've got ought against each other is that there is no intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because unforgiveness is an intimacy blocker.
Yeah. And that's resentment. Resentments will lead to emotional and sexual distance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why forgiveness is important. It's a very key ingredient in us having a healthy marriage.
It's also important when we talk about trust, because when there is unforgiveness, you can be sure that trust is broken. It is as forgiveness happens that then the trust is built. And you know, many people are reluctant to show mercy because they don't understand the difference between trust and forgiveness. Forgiveness is letting go of the past, but trust has to do with future behavior.
Yeah.
Every marriage is made up of two imperfect people who from time to time offend each other. So how can a couple go about forgiving each other? What things should they look at? What things should they do to forgive one another?
The first step would be to pray and ask God for help. You know, prayer goes a long way. Firstly, for you, being the person praying about it, you know, you tend to have more clarity about what you want to convey to your spouse when you eventually get to speak to them about it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when you ask God to help you, there is a way He softens the other person's heart also. That would be the first start, pray about it.
Because also, you know, having to forgive someone depending on the magnitude of the offense is not something that you can easily do with our human power. There are real offenses that are very difficult to forgive.
Yeah.
That's why you need divine intervention. That's why you need the help of God to help you do it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus teaching us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, He says, you know, God, forgive me as I forgive others. So it's always a requirement for you to be forgiving to others, because we expect God to extend that to us as well.
Mm-hmm. So everyone must consider praying about it.
Yeah.
And then when you're praying about it, you don't say, oh, it's a small offense. You know, you don't categorize them. Every offense, if it's big enough to be a concern to you, then you'd want to pray about it.
Yes.
Because you start off thinking, oh, this is a small one, but over time, it grows, and then it begins to overwhelm you.
Yeah, it forms a pattern. It becomes complicated then.
Becomes a bitterness.
Yeah.
And once it's bitterness, now it becomes difficult to handle. So we need the intervention of God. I mean, you know, the disciples, they asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother if he offends me? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. When I was growing up, I used to multiply 70 times 7. I thought Jesus is saying, you need to do it until you reach 490.
Yeah.
And then from there, that's it. 491, you can take them out. But actually, you know, what Jesus was saying there is that there's no stop. There's never an end to having to forgive someone who's offended you.
I mean, if you seriously count in a day, I don't think you'll reach 471.
In reality, I don't think you are going to be offended that much in one day.
Yeah.
But anyway, the principle is there that there is no limit to having to forgive somebody, regardless of what they've done. And especially in the context of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you remember how many times you've had to forgive me? 70 times 7, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is essential for a marriage, if it's going to work,
yes,
that you learn to forgive one another through the help of God.
And the second one will be openly discussing with your spouse about the offense.
We speak to couples and they said, you know, my husband or my wife offended me 1983 and all of that, and you know, my first question always is, have you discussed this with your spouse before you involve me? Have you discussed this with your spouse? Because I find out that many couples don't want to do the hard part that needs to be done in forgiving someone who's offended you in order to gain reconciliation, or in submitting an apology for the offender. But somehow they want to involve the third person to do it for them.
Yeah.
But that's not the role of the counselor or whoever you're asking or you're telling about the problems that you're having. The first step is for you to openly discuss it with your spouse.
And in that discussion, you know, give the other person some uninterrupted time to share their concerns.
Mm.
And that goes both ways.
Yeah. And that discussion is important because you find out that your spouse is not even aware that they've offended you. And you were really offended. You find that sometimes they are repeatedly doing something that offends you and they are not aware how offensive that is to you.
Yeah.
So during that time of discussion, you want to bring this to their attention to say, hey, this thing you did here is offensive, or what you avoided, because sometimes the offense is from what was done, and sometimes the offense is from what was not done.
Mm. Or what was said.
Sometimes it's what was said, and sometimes it's what was not said at a particular moment when someone needed to speak in defense of their spouse, and then they kept quiet. It becomes very offensive.
So, you know, it's important for you to be clear about your perspective in that conversation. You want to help your spouse to see your point of offense.
Yeah.
Why was that very offensive to you?
Yeah.
I remember early on in our marriage, we had different styles of communicating. You know, you come from a background where there's conversation all the time, and it was different for me. So when we first got married, and now we had to be discussing issues, and especially an offense, you know, you'd always out argue me. So I could never fully express what I wanted to say, because you were so eloquent and better at it than I would be, and you'd be saying, okay, what is the point? What are you trying to say? How do you? And I would just be overwhelmed by all of that. So I resorted to writing it down, because then in that way you can interrupt me. So you used to have letters and letters coming your way.
I remember those letters. Very heavy letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, after some time I mixed it up. I would say there'll be letters where I just say good things, and there'll be letters where I complain about something. But the point is, have a way of bringing your point across. You know, if for any reason whatsoever you are unable to say, and your point is heard, as I'm mentioning, it was the case for us, you know, find a way. And with time, you realize that, you know, you should probably keep quiet more so that I say to the end what I'm trying to say, and then only then you give an opinion.
Yeah, this is an important learning point. I was ignorant of what you were actually trying to say. I was looking at the facts of the matter and ignoring the heart of the matter. And in doing so, it did not help our situation, because as long as the offense is not properly spelled out by the victim or the person that's offended, you then leave as if there is no offense.
Yeah. So those are some of the things. You know, you need to allow each other that time to say, the offense really is not so much the action, it's just how I felt about it. So be clear about your perspective, and try to speak to your spouse about that, and make them aware of your perspective.
And when your spouse also, I guess from this my incident, when your spouse comes to present an issue or a matter, you need to be open enough and validate what they have before you start judging it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to win an argument, like I would do. You win an argument, but then in the process, you're emotionally losing your wife.
Yeah.
And you keep all these great arguments that you've won, but your wife is left behind emotionally.
Mm-hmm. And your point used to be, you know, improve the argument. And I'm like, well, this is not an argument. I'm just trying to convey my feelings here. It's not an argument.
So it's being defensive. I was just being defensive, stupidly so. I was being defensive. And in the process, I was not giving you, you know, the hearing that you needed to have.
Yeah. That is one point to consider. And also, you know, you need to forgive as Christ forgave you.
Mm.
You need to move past that point.
Yeah. So once you are forgiven, you don't need to then let the offense, once it's been dealt with, to color the future.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we've spoken about you praying about it. And then we've also said that you need to openly discuss the offense with your spouse. The next important thing also is to deal with one issue at a time. So whilst you are having the discussion with your spouse, you don't want to bring all the issues you've had. You only want to bring to the table the one issue that is behind you discussing this offense or submitting an apology or working towards reconciliation.
Yes, that is very helpful if you're doing it that way. We find that couples, what they do, if one person is bringing an offense, this is what I found offensive. The other one now has a point to say, I also am offended by something else.
Mm.
It does not help the situation when you go about it that way.
Yeah. So you want to take turns. Firstly, you want to submit your grievance as the offended party. And then you want to give the perpetrator, you know, an opportunity to also have their say, because the reason why we are forgiving one another is so that we can move past the offense and the bitterness and move towards reconciliation. Because what marriage is this where there could be no reconciliation? You can't live with unattended offenses. Mm-hmm. So the main thing here is reconciliation and better intimacy in the marriage.
You want to live in that state of forgiveness, you know, just being ready to forgive somebody. So if you are of that mind, you can't be piling issues and waiting for the day that they will say you are on the wrong for something and then bringing it as ammunition against your partner.
Mm. I've learned in my short life that problems and issues like this are like human beings. When you don't discuss it, when you don't bring it out, but you keep it, you nurse it, it grows each and every day, and one day is going to be something too big for you to handle.
Mm.
So it's important that whatever issue you've got, you take it out as a small issue before it becomes a big issue in your heart whilst your spouse is not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm. There's the saying in the Christian circles that a snake in Genesis, left alone, becomes a dragon in the book of Revelations. Now it's spitting fire.
Yeah.
So you want to deal with matters in their genesis while they're still snakes.
Yes, before they become dragons.
Yeah.
So you want to deal with the issues whilst they are small, because also I think they are better to handle.
Yes.
And is that one issue? And that's what we're talking about.
There is an analogy you like to make about the soccer pitch and the soccer balls. You know, I think it's a great one for this point.
Yeah. When you watch a football, I've noticed that once there are two balls in the pitch, the referee would always blow the whistle, stop the game, and then they would get rid of one ball.
Mm-hmm.
The game is played with only one ball in the pitch. And I think there's a lesson there also for marriage, that when you are dealing with offenses, you don't want to bring 10 at a time.
No.
The game is not going to be enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to deal with only one. Let's look at one issue at a time. Let's deal with it. And at another time, you can then bring whatever other outstanding issues are there, mm-hmm, for us to look at as well.
That's a great point. Truth be told, many mistakes are not intentional. So it's best to listen to your spouse, you know, and consider that it could be that, you know, you misread the intentions.
Mm.
And sometimes it's not what it looks like. And so you need to consider their side. Listen to your partner's side of story first and avoid blaming or criticizing them when you're confronting them with your concerns.
Yeah. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, we should bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And then it says, you must forgive as the Lord forgave you. And this kind of forgiveness is supernatural. It means that we should endeavor to forgive our spouses fully, unconditionally, willingly, and we should do this time and time again.
Mm. So it's important for us to have that pattern of forgiveness in our marriage, for us to build a healthy and unshakable marriage.
Thank you for listening to the Unshakable Marriage Podcast. Be sure to join us when we bring you our next episode. If you enjoy the podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and support it by clicking the link on the episode notes. Until next time.